Thank you. So yeah, I'll be talking about transport resonance in spin-orbit with quantum wires. And this work was done in collaboration with Kostya Tikhonov and Valery Pokrovsky. All right, so actually one of the motivations for this work was one of those big questions in spintronics, how to generate spin currents. And well, I'll try to give you one of the possibilities. I'll try to explain one of the possibilities, how it can be done, basically by using electron spin resonance in spin orbit split quantum wires. So I'll describe this electron spin resonance, and then I'll also show you in simple picture how spin currents can be created. But since I'll be talking about quantum wires, it's known that in quantum wires, electron-electron interactions are very strong. So then the important question, how like simple one electron picture can be modified in the presence of electron-electron interactions. And main part of my talk will be basically how to include those interactions and what happens. And as a result, I'll tell you how the shape of this resonance will change. Okay, sorry. Yeah, maybe later. yeah, so as a result, I'll tell you that how the shape of this resonance will change because of strong electron-electron interactions. So now let me start with some simple non-interacting picture. So that will be my quantum wire along x-axis. And well, one of the materials of choice can be something like indium gallium arsenide. Here is a Hamiltonian. So well, we have kinetic term, and second term that's just Rajbo spin-orbit interaction. But mostly I'll be showing you these results for Rajbo spin-orbit interaction, but actually it can be easily generalized for Dresselhaus interaction too. So it can be some combination of those two, and it will not change the results. And the last term, that just like Zeeman interaction, so that's magnetic field. Basically what we showed that the most important part of magnetic field is the one which pointed perpendicular to the Rajbo orbit interaction. So again, for simplicity, I'll be just concentrating on this perpendicular component, and the other one will not change much the results.
So what about thicknesses, ratio between thicknesses? Why is only px sigma z? I mean, usually it's px sigma, right? Or something.
Well, because it's one-dimensional. It's strictly one-dimensional.
I think it's related to this coordinate system, right?
No, that's what I'm asking, actually. Yeah, what's an unusual coordinate system?
So which way is, it's not clear which way z and y are pointing.
Well, okay. What is important here is that x is along the wire, yeah. Then well, there is some component. Well, z and y would be just perpendicular to the wire and perpendicular to each other.
Electric field is along z axis or along y axis? I see electric field. Along z as usual, then it should be sigma y.
If you replace z and y,
it doesn't really. Yeah, in one dimension they're interchangeable, yeah. So it's probably more important in two dimensions. Then I have to be more careful, but yeah, in one dimension it's kind of interchangeable.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, okay. You can think that this will be y and this will be z. Well.
You mean some geometry.
Right. Well, okay, yeah. So it's like some, well, let's say some rectangular geometry, like shown here. So, well, okay, there is some other question like also like about this transverse direction, but yeah, I don't want really touch now, but we can discuss it later. So, but okay, so if you look at this simple Hamiltonian, then energy spectrum will look like this. So it will be two parabolas, which will be split by this magnetic field. And again, so just to set scales, that spin-orbit interaction will be smaller than this kinetic energy, and the smaller scale will be this magnetic field. All right, so that will be our spin directions here. So now the question of how we can do a spin flip. So actually, well, since I said that that's the smallest term, let me for now kind of forget about it and just look at this energy spectrum. And so what you can see here is that there are two chiralities, so sigma can be plus or minus one. It actually means that we can flip a spin of electron. So again, coming back to this parabola, so where it can happen only in the regions where we have where the spin up or spin down. And in a one-dimension Fermi circles, they just basically four Fermi points here. And so here we can have a spin flip only between this P plus or P minus or somewhere here only. So basically, if we shine light at this resonant frequency, then we can have a spin flip. And this resonance frequency is actually basically just given by this change of energy. So sigma can be plus or minus one. So it means that well, change of energy will be two alpha p, and actually because we're close to Fermi level, so it will be p Fermi here. Okay, so that's so far just like absolutely non-interacting picture. But now let me show you how it can lead to spin currents. So that's again, that's our ground state. And now if we shine this linearly polarized light, we'll basically just adding this term to Hamiltonian where A is a vector potential. Then if we do that, we can create excited state. So basically we flip electron spin here and there. And let me look at the excitations which we create. So when we do this, we created two holes. Here, hole we spin up, and here we spin down, and we created two particles. Here, this electron we spin up, and here electron we spin down. And well, okay, because velocities of hole and electron are opposite, so we can kind of guess what will be currents here. So first of all, look at let's look at electric current. But what you can see here is that you have the same amount of particles moving to the left and to the right. So it actually means that you'll have no electric current. But at the same time, what you see here is that, well, the spin up particles, they moving to the right, and spin down moving to the left. So it actually means that we can create permanent spin current. But again, so far it was non-interacting picture. Now the question, how all this can be modified because of strong interactions? And we know that in one dimension, well, we cannot really exchange two electrons. So it actually means that interactions are very strong, and also excitations will be different. So it's not just like fermionic excitations, because, well, you basically, when you try to move one electron, you will have to move kind of all chain of electrons. So it actually means that excitations will be bosonic, and that can be described by Lattice liquid theory. And what was known already for a while that well, Lattice liquid, there are two types of excitations. It's holons and spinons. So basically, spin bosonic excitation and charge bosonic excitations. And I guess, like naively, one can guess that in presence of all the strong interactions, the electron spin resonance will be excitation of now of a spin wave.
Mm-hmm. You know, the previous slide, so this is in the absence of magnetic field?
No, 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 it's not in the absence. It's in the presence, but it's a very small magnetic field. So magnetic field is actually needed. So it's basically needed to enhance this matrix element to go from this lower branch to upper branch.
Hmm?
Well, it will be much smaller. It will be like higher order matrix element. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it will be something like very big. So. Well, I think in higher orders you still can get something, but it will be something like very small.
Because of the gas energy, right? All the social kind of not the energy.
Well, okay, from what I remember,
the lowest order, you get nothing.
So, yeah, so magnetic field is essential here, so it's basically just enhancing this transition.
But not enhancing, basically it gives you...
Yeah, it gives you main effect, yeah.
Enhancing from zero, I guess. That's
Well, okay, what I'm saying is that it's actually not completely zero, but okay.
Oh, but that I don't understand.
Okay, but yeah, how can this be you can gauge away the Rashba term in a strictly 1D system? You need the other term so that you can't, you know, get the non-Euclidean.
Right. Well, okay, I guess like, yeah, just for simplicity, let's say that yes, that without magnetic field, there will be no effect, but, well, actually, I saw some papers where they claim that there's some quadratic curvature.
Then you maybe can find it with wire, and then it might work.
Again. Right, right, or yeah, so yeah, so
basically. Are you basic. Not able to the magnetic component of the microwave or something?
Right, so something like this. But anyway, it's like much smaller effects, that's why, let's not concentrate on it. All right, so but so that's actually not the whole story, and well, let me kind of let give you away the answer, and then I'll give you slightly more details. And well, another part of the story basically follows if we do bosonization, and that's what typically people do for larger liquids. And well, basically, what you do in bosonization, you present fermionic operators in terms of bosonic operators, and there are two types of bosonic species. It's like charge and also spin, this phi and theta operators. And so this theta, tau, sorry, plus or minus one that corresponds to left and right movers. But so without spin orbit interaction, there is spin charge separation, so they completely separated, they have different velocities. But actually, what was also known before, and well, I'll show you later, that in presence of spin-orbit interaction, actually, well, the separation doesn't work that well anymore. So basically, spin and charge modes are mixed now. And because of it, you can guess some other effects what can happen here. So again, just for free fermions, the shape of the resonance is just like simple Lorentz, and the gamma is some width, which mostly given by electron-phonon interactions. But what I'll show you later is that, well, in this case, in the presence of spin orbit interaction, what happens that in addition to one peak, you can get another one. In addition to the peak at the spin wave frequency, you also get a smaller peak at charge density. Well, with some exponent, which we can calculate. But also what it does, it actually changes shape of this resonance at spin wave frequency. So basically it modifies, well, this Lorentz. And so in addition to one, you can have some other correction of this exponent. And that will be kind of the main goal of what I'll be trying to explain to you later. So now let me give you slightly more details. So basically, what we do, we now write down this Hamiltonian in second quantized forms, starting from fermions. And well, we linearize it because, we, again, mostly we'll be interested in physics close to Fermi level. Well, there is some subtle question how this curvature can affect all this. And well, I'll a little bit come in a couple of slides later. So well, OK, in addition to this linearized kinetic energy, we have interactions. So basically something like density-density. And well, there is also Rashba, which we can introduce. And well, there is also a magnetic field. So that's all more or less standard. And well, because we are shining light, so we need to couple all Hamiltonian with electromagnetic field. So we do it through this vector potential, where J is a current. And again, current is written just well, in terms of this velocity operator. And actually, what is important here is that in presence of spin orbit interaction, in addition to this standard term momentum over effective mass, we also have a theorem which actually depends on spin. And that will be the most important part of this current because, you know, we are interested in spin flip processes. So basically, you know, this term will not give you anything interesting for spin flip, and we can just concentrate on this last term. So basically, from now on, what I'll be doing, I'll be just calculating you know, this part of a current which corresponds to the spin flip processes. Well, and basically, what I'll be calculating, I'll calculate absorption power of electromagnetic radiation. So it's, in other words, I'll just need to calculate real part of conductivity and multiply it by amplitude squared of electromagnetic wave. And to do this, well, I'll just employ Cuba formula. So I need to calculate this current-current correlator. And in terms of, well, if I'll plug it in here, so basically it means that all what I need to do, I just need to calculate this retarded four fermion correlator. All right, but, well, okay, in order to do it, I need to bosonize these fermions because, well, otherwise I don't really know how to do it in presence of strong interaction. So just follow more or less standard bosonization techniques. So we expand fermions for right and left movers, as I mentioned before. And why it's important that, because in this case, all this interaction, which are kind of density-density operators, they will be eventually quadratic in this bosonic fields. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll try to speed up, but okay, so that's still fermionic operator, but well, another important issue here that with this upper and lower branches, our velocities are different, and actually this difference can come from spin orbit interaction, magnetic field, but also it's captures.
Actually, spin orbit interaction doesn't lead to any velocity.
By itself, it's yes, by yes. Itself. So it's so like it's kind of right. Sorry, okay. I guess to correct, it's kind of interplay of them together, whether spin orbit interaction with magnetic field or just spin orbit interaction with dispersion curvature, and especially in presence of interactions, it can be much more complicated. So that's why, well, because we linearize in spectrum, well, the only signature of dispersion curvature here is basically in these two velocities, in the difference. So that will be important because what you will see later that the total effect will be kind of proportional to the difference of velocities on upper and lower branches. All right, so so when we bosonize this Hamiltonian, we get this quadratic Hamiltonian, and well, there are these terms which mix spin and charge and degrees of freedom, and they're proportional to this difference of velocities on upper and lower branches, as I mentioned. And well, eventually we just need to calculate this correlator. So we know how to do it in imaginary time for time order operator. So that's what we're doing. But eventually we need to do weak rotation and analytical continuation and go from imaginary time to real time. And well, then we know how to get retarded correlator. So let me probably skip all this details. So let me just touch a little bit here that, well, eventually conductivity is given by some integral like this. And well, here this exponents, they're given, they're proportional. You see there are pieces proportional to this delta V squared. And actually this delta V is kind of proportional to Rushba spin orbit interaction. So you see that, well, it's small corrections in Rushba spin orbit interaction, but what is important here that there is also 1 over kc here. And this kc, it's one of the Leitinger parameters, so it basically signifies strength of electron-electron interaction. And when electron interaction is strong, then it means that kc goes to zero. So you can see that could be some divergences here. So basically it will be all about interplay of the spin orbit interaction and the strength of electron-electron interaction. There is no KS here. Well, it is actually there, but KS, it's almost one because if you forget about spin orbit interaction, which is rather small, KS is one because of SU2 symmetry. And well, spin orbit interaction, what it does, it basically just gives quadratic corrections to that one. And well, magnetic field even smaller than spin orbit interaction, so you know, those corrections.
But the delta, let's see, delta V is proportional to spin orbit interaction, right?
And actually, it renormalizes to zero.
Which
you
one?
You do an RG treatment of that problem, and you have different velocities, then the RG flow is such that the velocities flow to the same point. They become equal. Delta V should actually scale to zero.
Well, that's actually not what happens in this case. There is this work by Moroz.
If you look at the RG equations of
that? Well, okay. There are papers which we quoted here. So there is.
That are not included.
So I mean, I think you just diagonalize the problem. It's not an RG analysis which you did, right?
Well, okay, we relied here on RG analysis which was done before. So there is paper by Petuchov and others.
Earlier papers by Glassman, Maslow, and Starik, essentially showing that if you have a problem like this in velocities, then there's a scaling also of velocities. And the velocity, they flow to the same fixed point. And that means differences like the delta V.
I guess, yes. What I should mention is that, yeah, there is also here, well, another term which is like cosine term, right? Cosine of 2 phi s, right? But so it actually depends on what problem you consider. So well, there is also paper by Starik where they did it and they show that, well, okay, sometimes it's relevant, sometimes it's irrelevant. So it's actually, maybe I had to be a bit more careful at the beginning about magnetic field. So not only perpendicular component is important here, but you need to have like very small component kind of along the spin orbit interaction, which kind of breaks that spin density wave phase in this case.
But then in that case, Ks is not 1.
Yes, okay, yeah, Ks is not 1, but, we have Ks, it's just like, you know, I tried to simplify expressions, but Ks is still close to 1, so Ks is like 1, let's say, plus something of the order of alpha squared, and we still consider that alpha...
All the terms are alpha squared, I mean that...
Well, okay, they Well, that's correct, but they come different places, so that's what is important. So basically, well, okay, I have more complicated expressions which do involve Ks here, but they don't lead to any divergences. So they are there, but they don't give you something like interesting. So basically, well, if I add Ks, like you will not see any divergence, but at the same time, Kc can give you something large because there is one over Kc everywhere here. But yeah, I can show you later more details so we can discuss that. Well, okay, I'm actually pretty close to the end. I guess let me also show you that using this approach we can also reproduce non-interacting result because in this case, well, exponents are much simpler, so that's just like 2 and we can easily do this integral and well, the real part of conductivity would give us this Lorentzian, which is in the limit of gamma goes to zero, just you know, this delta function. But actually, this limiting case let us calculate this constant properly in front of this constant A. If we do for strongly interacting case, so that's the result. So basically, I already told you that there are 2 peaks, and well, exponent here normalized by, so that's actually the sum of this lambda plus mu, which I showed you before. And yeah, what is important here that it's delta V squared divided by Kc. So you see that in principle, it can be large for, you know, when Kc smaller than delta V squared. And over here, it's like mu plus mu over 2, which is 1 plus, again, the same factor. So this 1 cancels this 1. And it means that you also can have some, well, like relatively large exponent here when Kc is small.
Excuse me. This formula seems to suggest that you actually
reverse the power? I mean, that the Lorentzian goes away. I mean, is that sign correct?
Wouldn't it reverse the power?
Okay, if I insert what you have in the last line, line there, mm-hmm. in the exponent,
right.
then I get a minus, right?
Right.
So I get minus delta V squared over KC,
mm-hmm.
which is a positive quantity.
Okay, so maybe it should be minus here. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's just like typo. Yeah, so yeah, it's still in the denominator, yeah. Otherwise, yeah, it wouldn't be interesting.
But the exponent is tiny, right? That's what
you're yes. So, well, okay, it depends. So it depends on this ratio. Well, we calculate constant here, but what is important, it's like not that constant, but you know, that basically this ratio.
What about the prefactors?
Prefactors, well, you can, you're talking about these prefactors of exponents.
So they have these two contributions to conductivity. On the next slide?
Next slide?
Proportional.
Which next?
Proportional to the prefactors.
Yeah, we calculate the prefactors too. Just like, yeah, I'm trying.
Like, somehow. It's also important, but for the prefactors, I don't.
Well, okay. So you can get some like rather complicated formula this.
Just like the ratio, parametrically speaking, like you can get into a regime in which the two contribute an equal footing. Naively, you expect that spin-on. You want a situation in which the whole-on is comparable, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, prefactors are comparable. So basically, they're given just by you know this constant A. So, and other things are more or less of order of one. So they don't give anything like rather big or small.
Does that expansion stay well defined if delta mu squared over KC becomes large? I mean, do they always come in that ratio?
I mean, when this becomes large? Well, okay. Yeah, that's a good question. So, well, in principle, all larger liquid theory wouldn't be like valid for like arbitrary strong interaction. So it will break down at some point. So in a sense, what our calculations show is that you know it can be some observable effect, but it's not that we can strictly put this limit KC goes to zero. So, but I don't know about any theory which would do it.
Mm-hmm. So if you just do like a semi-classical RPA type of calculation,
I mean,
you also get something.
Well, no, you cannot really do that because for strong interactions, that wouldn't work.
Often that's fine. Of course.
Well, okay. What we did, we consider a case of weak interactions, and then we can go basically close to this limit of non-interacting electrons. So yeah, it kind of there is smooth crossover. And actually, well, another maybe thing that, well, that I'm showing in the limit of well-separated peaks for spin and Hollon frequencies. But if, you know, they overlap, we can still get formula, but it's kind of more complicated given in terms of special functions. So, you're right. Okay. So, yeah, that's my kind of final slide before conclusion. So, well, okay, and I basically told you, so that's our result. We have these two peaks now, and well, the exponents can in principle be large because PC can go to zero for strong interactions. Well, another thing that actually this spin wave frequency, it's well, we estimate it's roughly in terahertz range. And so, yeah, now let me just summarize. So basically, what we show that although in strongly interacting case, excitations are bosonic, but still spin resonance persists in larger liquid. And well, this resonance is just excitation of spin wave. But in addition, because of the spin orbit interaction, spin and charge channels they mix with each other, and as a result, we get bigger peak at this plasmon or Hollon frequency. Okay, thank you.
So usually these wires have more bands, right? So you get probably even more peaks because you get even more. Is that what it is? I mean, get even more turning points and more.
Well, okay. The situation will become more complicated, but eventually, when you have many channels.
It's not washed out or something like this.
Well, it depends how it all happens. That so generally, okay, it's not that we did a detailed study, but I would say that if it's just like, let's say, a couple of channels instead of one, and again, that kernel level stretches in some way here, but you know, other well, parabolas from other channels will be somewhere higher up. So I don't think that they would contribute that much here. So they will probably be somewhat separated in terms of frequencies and so on. Well, okay, yeah, you don't have but more transition.
Usually it's more like a couple of channels.
Well, okay, that's what I'm saying, that I think experimentally, I don't think it's like that much worrisome because frequencies will be different. So yeah, if you can kind of separate those transitions.
But actually, there is an experiment by Joshua Folk where they have a wire with many modes, and they vary. They have this, they call it ballistic spin resonance, and that's actually relevant. The other modes, because you it's exactly the same. You match other resonances, so you actually have plateaus with where you when you're measuring this thing.
No,
it's just normal. I have many modes.
So that's the spin orbit interaction, those guys.
Yes.
Anybody dying to any sub rules? Any sub rules to be integrated on?
Not that I know.
Yeah, how about you?
I mean, there is an effect which is referred to as EDSR, electric dipole spin resonance.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference of field stop to EDSR?
Yeah, the balance I don't. Not that familiar.
This is one of the first ideas I think Rochefort had using his Rochefort interaction.
Ah, okay. I think yeah. So that's the one using electric field.
Yeah.
So, well, I think the difference here that yeah, if I understand correctly, that it was electric field used, and here is a magnetic field. So basically.
But you use an A field, right? You use an electromagnetic field which couples to the current.
Electric.
Right, but don't they use like just like permanent electric field instead of like magnetic field? Also
you apply a magnetic field, a constant magnetic field like you do, and then you apply an electric field to drive your charge.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Well, okay, I guess, yeah, I need to look at what they did to tell me what they
You're driving not as a red field, but you're driving the electric field, so you couple to the electric dipole.
But okay, did they consider electron-electron interactions and the...
No, but they said you couple to electric dipole, so perhaps EDSI is a better name.
Maybe just call it, yeah, just call it EDSI.
Call it EDSI. You know, then you don't know what you mean.
Well, okay, so yeah, here it was mainly how to address electron-electron interaction. So yeah, non-interaction picture was discussed probably in several papers.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.